Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
I think lockdown has been an interesting experience for most of us. For us, one of the most memorable moments was when my son Ben found out he wasn't going to have to sit his GCSEs. We joked for weeks about it. We could hear the roar from upstairs, the scream, "Mum, you're not going to believe it." And everything was left in his room as if time had just stood still. The revision books were still open. The notes were on his desk. The pen was left down mid-sentence. It was hilarious. We were just like, "Ben, seriously?" But he just couldn't believe his luck. It was finally over. Everything that he'd been working for, he didn't actually have to go through with it. He was so relieved. See, my Ben's, he's bright, but he's not what you call a natural studier. And often he would have questioned me and said, "Seriously, Mum, why are you making me cram all this information in my head that I'm probably never, ever going to use again? I mean, when will I ever need to know the structure of a leaf or how rocks are formed?" And he'd say, "Seriously, Mum, am I really developing my education and learning and growing, or am I just simply regurgitating facts?" And to be honest, he had a point. And it made me stop and think about how we approach the Bible at times. You know, I know for me in my life, do I just fill my head with what I think is knowledge about the word, or am I just stuffing information into it? Because when the Bible refers to knowing, it often uses the term genosko, and that means to properly know, especially through personal experience, through first-hand acquaintance. So it means really to know someone, not just merely repeating a fact. You see, when Jesus said in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's where he's talking about actually intimately knowing him. That's what God wants for us. He doesn't just want us to know about him. He wants us to know who he is. It's not something from afar. It's up close, and it's personal. So what does it mean to know Jesus? You know, often in our pursuit for answers, I'm talking from my experience, we just look maybe sometimes for a bite-sized verse that'll give us something to feed on. Maybe whatever you're struggling with, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, and we search for answers, and sometimes we're just skimming through until we find that nugget that's going to unlock something. And I'm not criticizing anyone because I'm talking from my own experience. But sometimes there's a disconnect in your life between what you know about Jesus, the information, and what you're really experiencing. And how often is it that we can quote all the verses and we seem to have all the answers to the difficult questions, but when it comes to walking in that experience of those promises, sometimes we feel like there's a gap. There is that disconnect. What we confess to believe and what we're seeing played out in our lives sometimes can be different things. And then how do we feel? Well, often, I know for myself, I get frustrated. I start to doubt myself. I sometimes doubt God, and I start to lose my confidence. And that's why we've been looking at this series in John. That's why we're asking ourselves this question. When Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And we want to go deeper. We want to get a fuller picture. We want to ignite in all of us a passion to pursue the truth. Because who is the truth? It's Jesus himself. So why does this matter to us today? Why does this matter to you? What difference is this going to make in your world tomorrow? Do you know what? We're going to be influenced by what we give our attention to. Whatever we put in front of us, we will magnify it and it will become bigger in our lives. If we feel like we're not getting the answers and we're struggling to find the Lord, here's what we need to do. We need to dig deeper. We need to draw closer. You know, it says in Jeremiah, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Jesus is inviting us every day to commune with him. Do you know why? He wants to reveal himself to us in greater ways so that our minds can be amazed, so that we can stand in awe, so that we can have confidence, and that confidence in us is going to rise about what he can do in us and through us. Do you know what? He wants to satisfy the needs and the hungers in our hearts. And in times of uncertainty all around us, because all around the world, everything at the minute is getting shaken. And it's important more than ever that we need to ground ourselves, that we need to ensure that our foundations are solid. There's no doubt many people who feel that they're walking through a storm right now, because I can't remember a time in my lifetime like this when the whole world it's been affected by the same situation. You know, I've walked through challenges, I've walked through struggles, but right now everybody in the whole world is facing the same thing, and it's outside of all of our control. People are looking for answers. People are looking for solutions. I think this is an incredible time for the church. It's time for us to stand up. It's time for us to rise up and declare that we have found the answer. So let's look today at this question. When Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" what's your response going to be? I am loving looking at the book of John and reminding myself of these incredible statements that Jesus makes about himself. When he says, "I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, some of the things that he said are really easy for us to understand and to get our heads around. Some things are more intriguing, and to be honest, some of them just sound completely crazy. But you know what? This is done on purpose. When Jesus walked the earth, he wanted to draw people in. He wanted to provoke us, to make us question, to challenge people's beliefs, to set things on their heads. And it's the same today. He's inviting us to walk a journey with him, where we try and figure out how we're responding to him and where are we placing him in our lives. Are we acting like he is our good shepherd? Like he's leading us and guiding us with every step that we take in life? I ask myself, am I trusting you, Jesus, that you're the only way in my life? So who do we say really that Jesus is? Can we be honest with ourselves? You know, Jesus wants to reveal himself to you today as the answer to every single need in your life. But we need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. John, as he recounts to us, demonstrating to the Jews and the Gentiles of the day that Jesus came to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies, that everything that they had ever learned, it pointed to this man. It was written in such a way that their ears would actually have pricked up to the words and the phrases that were used, because they would have been taken directly from the Torah and the prophets. These are the words that they would have studied for years growing up. Everything that the Jews would have held dear and prided themselves in knowing. And here comes Jesus. He joins all these dots together. And what picture did Jesus reveal? He revealed himself. And yet, even though there he was, fulfilling this right before their eyes, they couldn't see him. Their hearts were full of pride, and they were more interested in their intellectual knowledge of God than actually experiencing him for themselves. So let's jump into the theme of today's message and look how this reveals Jesus when he reveals himself to be the bread of life. I actually find this quite amusing that I was given this to speak on, because if anybody knows me quite well, they would know that I really love my food. And I actually don't get hungry, I get hangry. You know, whenever I was pregnant, each time I was pregnant with our three kids, I actually couldn't go from the night till the morning without having food. I would actually have woken up in the middle of the night and had to have eaten like a cereal bar or a brunch bar, just something to keep me going. And it used to frustrate the life out of Andrew that he'd be waking up in the morning and there was crumbs everywhere. But I just couldn't go without food for that many hours. I was always hungry. And you know, have you ever thought about why God designed us this way? Why he built us with this basic need, this need for sustenance? Because when we look at the awesomeness of creation, it's not that the Lord couldn't have figured out a way for us to survive without this daily need for food. And yet this is the most basic need that we have in life, to be able to survive, to grow, to flourish. We need food. And it's not even we need it once a month or once a week. It's a daily need. And in our house, it often feels like it's an hourly need. I know over lockdown, I felt like I just lived in the kitchen. Everybody's constantly hungry. We just can't switch this off. We can't ignore it. It never goes away. Our need for physical food, though, should actually serve as a constant picture and a reminder for our need for spiritual food. Because just like our bodies can't survive without food, we cannot, that's not what we were designed for. We cannot survive without Jesus. He is the bread of life. He is our daily sustenance. Do you know what? Jesus sees the hunger in every human heart. And he wants to feed every hunger. The hunger to be loved. The hunger to be accepted. The hunger to belong. The hunger to have a purpose. He wants to be our source of life. We all know when our bodies feel weak in the natural. If I've skipped a meal, I start feeling dizzy, seriously. But we know if we've chosen to go without eating food, or we've simply were eating the wrong things, we can't actually function properly. We're not running on 100%. We get tired, we get weak and lethargic, we get distracted. And then what happens? We can't think straight. We make poor decisions, we get irritable. We all understand that we can't live without food. It's just not the way that we've been designed to work. But how many people today are living without the right spiritual food? How many people are weak in their ability to make decisions? How many people are distracted? How many people are not functioning to their full potential? How many people are confused because they're feeding on the wrong things, and that's causing harm and pain to themselves and to other people around them? You were created to feed on Jesus. You were created to live with a daily need for him to nourish you. You were created to draw strength through fellowship and communion with your Maker. You were designed to come to Jesus every day to receive from him. He is our supply. So how did Jesus reveal himself as the bread of life when he walked on the earth? Well, we're going to start by looking in John 6, where he feeds the 5,000. Now, if you've grown up in the church, you've probably heard this story so many times. And the problem with that is that we don't always engage with the text. Our minds revert back to our memory of this, and we kind of can miss out on some of the details. Now, obviously, there's never coincidence in the Bible, and it's no coincidence that after this, after Jesus has just practically fed people and met their physical hunger, that then he reveals himself as being the bread of life. But there are so many significant details that are found throughout these passages. And I'm trying to train myself at the minute to look deeper, to ask the questions, to think, not just to try and get that bite-sized nugget, but to ask the Lord to reveal to me in a fuller way just the immensity of who he is and what he means. Remember, all the details are significant. So what time of year was it when this happened? It was Passover. People were gathering. People were coming together to celebrate. And what were they celebrating? They were celebrating their deliverance from Egypt, coming out of slavery. And now, right at the center of them, right before their eyes, is their ultimate deliverer. But how many of them could actually perceive it? Who did these people say that he was? And think of the other similarities, the other pictures we have here. Where were these people? They were actually out on a mountain in a wilderness area. There were no shops close by. People were not close to their homes, or food wouldn't have been an issue or a problem. Think for a minute what this reminds you of. Of a people who were hungry without food, without access to food. And look what happens. God shows up in the middle of them to provide. Doesn't it sound familiar? Nothing's by chance. John is showing the Jews, remember how you were fed in the wilderness with the bread from heaven? Now look, he has stepped out of heaven to feed you. Jesus, the actual bread of life. And you know, I think Jesus has a great sense of humor. I think he loves to put his disciples into tight spots sometimes because he loves turning things around. He loves to surprise them. He loves to show up when people think there's going to be a disaster. And he loves to show them, hey, I've got this sorted. Because Jesus looks at the crowd and then he turns and asks his disciples, how are we going to feed all these people? Now, was he actually expecting them to come up with a solution for themselves? No. He was setting them up. But he was asking them to expand their minds. He was testing them to push past their natural limitations. He was inviting them to think from a heavenly perspective. They looked and they were totally overwhelmed. They saw the issue. They saw that it was impossible. But Jesus looks from a heavenly perspective. He saw the potential and he saw the opportunity. He saw the supply. That made me think, actually, What questions is Jesus asking you today? What impossibility is he asking you to face? Where is he calling you to step back, to look again, to consider? Do you consider the obstacles you see in the light of the power Jesus has placed within you through his Spirit? Do we draw from that incredible creative ability that he's put within us, that immense latent potential that's lying inside our minds? You know, I believe that every day Jesus is inviting us to go on a journey with him, to start to believe that we can find a way through with him. But can we allow ourselves to dream with the Lord? Can we allow him to just bring these new exciting outcomes? Or do we just look at the obstacles? Can we take what's in our hands and expect it to be multiplied beyond anything we can imagine? Jesus spent his time on earth expanding people's minds to the reality of his kingdom. And I love the fact that Andrew, the disciple, actually dares to believe that he's not going to be laughed at. He actually comes with the boys, packed lunch, and offers it to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He takes it. Everyone sits down. He gives thanks, and it's multiplied. 5,000 men plus the women and children are fed, and 12 baskets are left over. Everyone is satisfied. And there is more than enough. What looked like a huge, insurmountable problem became an opportunity for God to reveal his glory. Jesus had satisfied their physical hunger, but there was a much deeper hunger in every man and woman, a greater need that God has placed in all of us to be fed, a need that only he can meet. Now these people, they were hungry. They wanted to receive spiritual food, food that satisfied that deepest longing and desire of their hearts. And that's why Jesus next reveals himself as the bread of life. We need to take time to meditate on this, to chew it, if you pardon the pun, to digest it, to allow your mind to think about what this means for you. The bread of life. Bread is such a simple thing. It's part of our everyday life. He's trying to tell us, you can't live without bread. You can't live without me. He is our life source. He is our sustenance. But let's see how the rabbis and the Pharisees reacted to Jesus after they had seen these signs. They came to him and they said, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. We read that in John 6, verses 28 to 29. How simple could Jesus make it? You see, the law wanted to know what they could do to earn God's approval through performance and works. And Jesus showed them how easy it was. All they had to do was believe in him. And yet their response is incredible. The next day, after they'd seen this incredible miracle, they're saying, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it was written, he gave bread from heaven to eat. But Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. These men studied the scriptures. They knew in detail how God had provided for them in the desert, how bread had come down from heaven, but they couldn't join the dots. Or they refused to see what was staring them in the face. Jesus, He was the bread from heaven. He wasn't just there to satisfy the physical hunger. He was there to feed their souls. "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry," he said. Jesus came to fill that deep hunger in all human hearts, that need to be connected to our Father, that need to belong, that need to live life with his life within us. And can you see the irony in the Pharisees' reactions? It says that the Jews there began to grumble about him because they said, "How can he say, 'I'm the bread from heaven'?" They said, "Is this not the son of Joseph? Is this not Jesus, not the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we knew? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Isn't this kind of the irony again? People who were hungry in a desert place, people being fed supernaturally, and yet still they grumble and they complain. What does that remind you of? The human condition is one that never can be satisfied outside of the Lord. Are there times when you hear people moaning and complaining for things to change, and when they don't change, when they do change, they mumble and complain about the next thing because they thought that that thing that was holding them back in life, you know, if that would just get fixed, then everything would be better. But soon they just find something else that they're not happy about. Because you see, the self is never going to be satisfied. The flesh will never be satisfied. I know I've gone through seasons or days or times when I've looked for everything on the outside to change, when I thought, oh, I would just have peace, I would just be happy if this could change, if that could change. I've blamed other people. I've blamed my own performance. I've thought stuff could satisfy. There is only one source that we can draw from that will meet the deepest need within us. But we need to humble ourselves. We need to recognize at times there's pride in our own hearts holding us back from receiving the all that the Lord that has for us. He won't always turn up in the way we expect. His path won't always look like the one we'd imagined. Are we going to surrender ourselves to him and lay everything down for him? The Pharisees, they were offended by him. They couldn't accept what was staring them in the face. As he continued, he offended them all the more. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven," he told them. "Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for you, the life of the world." And then Jesus went on to say, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors, they ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." How outrageous was this at the time? How offensive? Even when we read this now, can we really get our heads around it sometimes? Jesus talking about the bread as flesh, and then Jesus tells us it's his flesh that we need to eat and his blood that we need to drink. It doesn't make sense if we don't draw close to God. It doesn't make sense at times from the outside because it's all upside down. It's the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made for us, laying down his life. It's the majesty. It's the beauty. It's the awesomeness of God. It made no sense to the Jews. The great I am, the one and only God who is supreme over all, that he would step out of heaven, that he would come, that he would dwell among his people, that he would humble himself to death on a cross, that his flesh would be torn and his body broken, that his blood would be poured out. He sacrificed himself. We find life when we feed on him. When we believe in who he says he is, when we accept that he is our bread of life, he is our life source. By believing in him, we enter into a life that will last for eternity, and we walk into that fullness of life that he has for us. The Pharisees, they couldn't accept this. They were holding on to their good works. Their confidence was in their efforts. They felt good about themselves because they could compare themselves with others who were falling short of the standard that they'd made. Because their whole system, it was built on comparison, on one-upmanship. They could have thought, well, I might not be perfect, but hey, at least I'm better than him. Do you know what? Jesus came to destroy that mindset, and he comes to destroy it today as well. To tear down every barrier that has been separating humanity from each other and from his Father. He's taken away all the things that people were trying to do to connect with God, and he's made it so simple. There is only one way, through him. There is one source of life. He is it. If you want access to the Father, you come to him. You feed from Jesus. You know, I was challenged when I wrote this, because we all have times when we compare ourselves to others, when we get our eyes off focusing on what the Lord says about us, and when we believe we maybe need to put other people down in order to feel better about ourselves. But Jesus humbles us all. Why is that? The Spirit gives life. You know what? The flesh counts for nothing. And the words I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. That's what Jesus tells us in John 6, verse 61. So how do we feed on Jesus? You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and he was told to turn the stone into bread, what was his response? Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Every word that Jesus speaks is food to us. We read at the start of John that he is the word. And as we feed on that word, it is bread to our bodies. We are fed within. I mean, one of the things that I'm really interested in is psychology and particularly science about the mind and our brains and how they work. And recently I was listening to this lady and she was describing about studies that they've done on brain activity. And she's talking about what happens in the brain when people read scripture. It's phenomenal. Literally, your brain lights up. It comes to life. It's incredible. So much happens when we engage, because we're engaging with Jesus, we're engaging with his life within us. So think about this. Whenever you engage in the word, your creativity is released. That sense of joy that we want to walk around with is released. A sense of peace that floods our hearts. Our intellect expands. Your ability to reason just magnifies. And our emotions, they become stable. They're not all over the place. We're not shaken about. We can walk through life with that sense of peace. Isn't that everything that the world is looking for right now? You know, I hear so much, particularly over the last number of months, about the mental health crisis that we're going through. And just with this pandemic, what that's going to mean, just the effects that lockdown has had on people. And, you know, what we're going to do and how we can get through this and how we can help people. Do you know the reality is? The world has no answers to the pain in the human heart. And we don't know how to treat the mind in order to bring freedom. We know how to numb it. We know how to manage it. But nothing the world has can bring freedom. The word brings life because Jesus is the word. And as we feed on Jesus, our bread of life, we are transformed. His grace transforms us. As we eat his flesh, as we drink his blood, as we acknowledge his death and resurrection, as we see, as it says in Galatians 2, that we have been crucified with Christ, that we no longer live, but that he lives in us. This is where true life flows from. So I'm asking you, I'm asking myself, where are we feeding from today? How are we nourishing ourselves? Because you know what? The world is full of negativity. And now more than ever, it's everywhere. We're bombarded by it. Social media, the news, and there's some really bad and disturbing messages out there. What are you feeding on? What are we allowing our kids to feed on? I know when Ben was younger, I was really, really careful about the kind of things that he watched and the kind of messages that came into his life. And I've noticed now, you know, Ben's now got to the stage where he's pretty sensitive about what he's listening to, and he has quite an awareness of, is this going to build me up? Is this going to be good for me? But I've noticed now, even with the girls, there's messages that come across in TV shows and books, YouTube videos, games that they're playing. There's so much that can influence our kids. And, you know, I had to recently take Hope to the side. She was wanting to read something and watch movies that I really just don't like. I'm not saying they're horrendous, but I just don't think it's going to be a message that I want in her heart. And she was saying, but so-and-so is allowed to watch them, and there somebody else is allowed to watch them, and they go to this church and they're allowed to watch them. And she was kind of, you know, Mum, what, you know, why are you being like this? But I had to sit down and explain to her, you know what, Hope, I didn't let Ben read those things either. And he didn't have nightmares when he was growing up. That wasn't a big thing for him. But I know there's a lot of kids that get nightmares because they get fearful, because they're feeding themselves on the wrong stuff. And you know what, sometimes as parents, it feels like we're going against the tide. And we kind of go, oh, seriously, how can we stop them? How can we, you know, this? It's everywhere. It's on every device they've got. You know, they're around at their friends' houses. But you know what? That's the calling that God's put on our lives. We are the authority in the home. We are the authority over what we feed our kids. We wouldn't give them, you know, McDonald's every day. We know how that harms them. So let's not take shortcuts. And I'm talking to myself as well, because there's times that I want to give myself that 5 minutes peace. It's that kind of thing, buy now, pay later, that Andrew was talking about, corporate right. You know, when we think we're getting ourselves that bit of peace. But you know, the world and the enemy has that subtle agenda out there, and he's allowing things to creep in. He's allowing us to feed ourselves on things, and we start to believe that some things out there that are normal, that are not the way that God created them. There are so many issues about there, issues about gender, sexuality. There's so many messages out there that are trying to just bring a message to our kids that is not godly, that is not the way he intended. Let's think about what we're feeding ourselves on. Let's think about what we're letting our kids see. Let's challenge ourselves. Is this building me up? Is this encouraging me? Are my kids going to have a better attitude after they've watched this? We often talk about vegging out at times, but what are we doing then? Because our minds are never in neutral. We can't, we want to switch off, but actually we can't. Your mind is this incredibly powerful and awesome thing. It has amazing capacity. So let's ask ourselves this week, Jesus, how can I feed on you? And think about it. Think how often our bodies need food. How much time is spent around buying food, preparing food, eating up, clearing up after it? It's a huge part of our lives. That's why Jesus chose feeding. That's why he said, I am the bread of life. He wants us to make that connection. He wants us to take it seriously as we take our stomachs at times. So let's check in with the Lord, not just in the mornings and maybe a couple of minutes before we go to bed at night and we sort of slump into our pillows. But every time your stomach rumbles, every time you think about what's for lunch, every time you think about what we're having for tea, let's think about our true life source. Let's commune with him throughout the day. Let's challenge ourselves. Let's feed on his word. Let's meditate on it, chew on it. Keep his word in focus. Keep communing with Jesus. While you're in the car, pray. Feed from Jesus. Draw from your source of life. At every possible time, let your thoughts be surrounded by him. Pray in the Spirit. It talks in Jude how we build ourselves up in a holy faith. When we eat, we're building up our bodies. When we pray in the Spirit, allow the life of Jesus to flow through your life so that you're actually building up your spirit. You are feeding on Jesus. Not only will we find life, but actually when we're feeding on Jesus, it's going to satisfy us in a way that goes beyond anything that we've ever experienced. I found this verse really interesting. When the disciples approached Jesus in John 4, they were urging him to eat. And he said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You see, the more we live in line with the path the Lord has for us, the more we feed on him and we do the good works that he's prepared for us to do, the more we actually find life, we find fullness and a satisfaction that's beyond anything that we could imagine. It makes no sense in the natural to, you know, when you're fed and when you give out, that it's actually going to be feeding you. And if we look at it with our natural fleshly eyes, we will see that we'll think, well, if we're giving out, that's going to deplete us. That we need to go and be recharged then because we've been given out to others. But with Jesus, it's always the opposite. It's always upside down. Actually, if we're feeding correctly from Jesus, if we continually draw from him as our source of life, we will find that doing his will and his works, it actually feeds us. It will give us true life. At times, you know, our bodies might get tired, but our inner spirit will be refreshed. There will be a fulfillment way beyond anything that the world can offer. There'll be no job, no promotion, no position, no qualification that can ever feed you like doing the will of God. So I encourage you today, feed on Jesus, your bread of life. Commune with him. Let him be your source. Don't fill your head with information. Get to know Jesus personally. He is your sustenance. He is your bread of life.